Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
I have a message that will go for an hour, but I have 30 minutes. And so I'm going to go into warp speed, Cliff's Notes version. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. But I'm excited about today. I'm starting a series. It's called the Jesus Series. Real original, huh? But it's about Jesus. It's nothing else. And we're leading up to the most glorious event that history's ever known, and that is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. But leading up to it, I want us to go on a journey of discovering just the life of Jesus. And we're going to begin to hit some hot spots along the way. Today we're going to talk about him calling us as followers to follow him, as disciples. Next week we're going to talk about his enemies. We're going to talk about his miracles, his power, his signs and wonders. We're going to talk about his atonement. We're going to talk about his death. And we're going to talk about the empty tomb, which is going to be wonderful. So it's a journey of discovery of the one that we love. It's Jesus. This is all about him. This is why we come today. It's because of him. So I want to start out today with a video from The Chosen. So if we could turn off the lights in the back, please. Let's go ahead and watch this. I love that scene because the master fisherman caught some fish, and his name is Jesus. What was so moving about that is that the way that they caught the fish was in Peter's mind when Jesus said, "Go out into the deep and put into the water." In his mind, he knew in Galilee, you only catch fish at nighttime. In the middle of the day, at lunchtime, you don't catch fish. He also knew that going out into the deep water, they weren't out that deep. They should have been a little further. But in the deep water is in the middle of the day is not where you catch the fish. During the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, they're up closer to shore. And Peter had been fishing all night, and they didn't catch a thing. So for him to say, "I will do it, as you say, Lord." In his mind, he's probably saying, you know, this guy really doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know really how to fish. He doesn't really know all the things that I know, but I'll do it for him. So he does it. And he goes out and lets down the net. And when they catch all of those fish, in Peter's mind, this is truly a miracle. This is just not a lucky day of fishing. This is a miracle. It was a holy moment where Peter is touching the living God. And the one that created the fish, the one that moved the fish into the net, he is standing before a holy God. And what does he do? He worships him because he knew he was God in the flesh. And he worships him. And he follows him. But I want you to know something. Jesus is a master fisherman, even though he wasn't a fisherman. And in that, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 24. It's part of the story, but actually the story in its full detail is in Luke 5. But I want to talk about this portion of scripture starting out because it's so important. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 24. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. And what I love about this portion of Scripture is that Jesus gathered his followers before all of his ministry began. And this is what's so powerful about it, is that this glorious adventure that will last for 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus on the earth, he's inviting his disciples to come along for the ride, to be a part of the most glorious adventure that they'll ever experience in all of their life. He invites them in to the mission that God had, and that is to reach the lost and to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout all the world. It's like they did not know what they were signing up for, but it's like he's saying, I want to get my followers, my disciples with me, even before anything begins, even before I cast out demons, even before I raise the dead, even before I turn water into wine, even before I open the blind eyes, he says, I want you to be with me to experience what's getting ready to happen. What an honor. What a privilege. It's like he says, I'm not doing this alone. I'm doing this with you. And you're going to follow me. And as you follow me, you're going to be changed. You're going to be marked for eternity. You're going to be a different person. And you're going to be able to witness the gospel of the kingdom throughout all the world. And then verse 23, of Matthew, starting verse 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond to the Jordan. Do you see what happened? None of that began until he first had his disciples, his followers. He didn't do any of it until he said, I want my boys to be with me. Because this is going to be something that I'm inviting you in to, this glorious adventure of seeing the power of the gospel of the kingdom transform the whole landscape of humanity. I mean, come on. They were like, yeah, I'll follow you. Can you imagine being Peter and all of a sudden saying, okay, I'll follow you. I mean, think about it. He didn't know what he was signing up for, but what he was signing up for was going to change history. So the purpose of Jesus, as we understand it, is widely understood. He came to save humanity from sin and to offer eternal life through his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection. That's his purpose. He came to save us and rescue us from the grips of hell, and to give us eternal life. But his mission, as we read it, let's look at Luke 19:10. His mission is in Luke 19:10. It says this, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's his mission. Matthew 9:13, which you read in verse 11, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners, and I love that. I mean, he's with, you know, those that the Pharisees would never even get near, the prostitutes and the gluttons and the sinners, and he's having a meal with them. He's enjoying it. And basically, he responded to them by their critique of him in verse 13, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So he's coming to call the sinners. He loves to be with sinners. 1 John 3:8, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. I love that purpose. I love the fact that my Lord is going to destroy the enemy on my behalf. I love it when David says that he breaks the arm of the enemy. Don't you love the imagery of that? I'm like, yeah, break his arm. Yeah, get rid of him. Romans 9:17 says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I've raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." What's just happened? The table's been turned now. He's saying, the very power and authority that is in me is now in you. And I want you to go forth and proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom to the whole earth. It's kind of like it's what they call a Jehovah Sneaky. God just said, okay, now you've seen me do it, and now I'm putting my power and my authority in you. Now go do it. And you know what? It's not a feeling. You know, you never feel like it. You don't just feel like, wow, today I got the power. You know, you just don't feel it. What you do is you're obedient. If he said it, I'm going to do it. And a step of obedience releases the power of God through you to minister. You just got to step out. You never, I'm telling you, I never feel like, you know, I never feel like doing a lot of stuff. But I do it in obedience to the Lord because I know his word proclaims that all authority has been given to me. If he's given me all authority and he's given you all authority, who has no authority? The devil. You have it all. So this glorious adventure is for you and me. And then Jesus says this remarkable thing in John 14. He says, and by the way, greater things will you do in my name because I go home to be with the Father. Greater things. I mean, come on. How can you get greater than the things that Jesus did? I mean, it's just kind of like it's kind of like a tease. Greater. I mean, so what is a disciple? It's a person who is a genuine follower of Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. I mean, that's a disciple. And there's a rabbinic tradition, rabbis, when somebody chose to follow a rabbi as a teacher, as an instructor in one's life, people would say to the followers, "May you be covered with the dust of the rabbi." The students followed him so closely that the dust from the road that came from the feet of the rabbi would cover the disciples. So it should be a desire of every disciple of Christ to walk so closely to him that we would be covered in his dust. Do you see that? And so, you know, how do you know that you're a disciple? Well, let me just tell you right now. It's real simple. Matthew 28:19. He instructs his disciples and he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What makes you a disciple is soon as you ask the Lord into your heart, you repent of your sin, you invite him to come in and to cleanse you and give you new life in Jesus. You're baptized in water. You come up a new creature in Christ. As soon as you come out of the water, disciple is over your head. You are instantly a disciple of Christ. You are born again believer, baptized in water, and you now are a disciple of his. So it's not like you got to go through all these hoops, take all these classes, read all these books, and then you're a disciple. It's not like you're getting a master's degree or an undergraduate. It's simply faith in Jesus. According to the scriptures, being baptized in water, you are now a disciple. And 1 Peter 2:21 says this, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So we're to follow him and do what he did. So what are the steps that Jesus took to equip these 12 men to continue his work after his death? First of all, the first step is this. He chose you. You didn't choose him. You know, the scripture says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. He chose you. He selected you. If you call upon the name of the Lord as your Savior, he first chose you. It wasn't your idea, because Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So guess what? He chose you because he loves you. And his love drew you into a place where you could say yes to the good news of the gospel of Jesus into your life. So after he chose them, then after he chose you, he instructed you to follow him. And you know what? We don't stop following Jesus, even if you're my age or if you're Jim Carroll's age. You don't stop following him. We're still following the Lamb. We're still doing what he's saying to do. And the challenge is to become fishers of men. You know, I like that Jesus, he took their vocation, which these guys were good at it. These were good fishermen. And they'd be out on the Sea of Galilee in their lives, you know, doing their vocation. And what Jesus is basically saying to them, I'm going to take your vocation as a fisherman, and I'm going to translate that into someone who's going to catch people, who's going to go fishing for people. And that's exactly what Jesus does not know how to, he doesn't have to know how to fish to teach you in your trade, in your vocation, to know how to go and catch fish. Just like Jesus doesn't need to be an accountant. He doesn't need to be a teacher. He doesn't need to be a financial advisor. He doesn't need to know how to be anything, any profession. He takes you at your profession, and he's going to teach you how to go fishing to catch fish. You might say, I'm not a preacher. Well, I'm not a teacher. I don't know. I don't know how to go and share Jesus. Let Jesus take you at your profession and teach you how to go fishing. Some of you might not like to fish. I love to fish. I used to do it for a living. I know how to fish. I know what it takes to catch fish. And it's the qualities that are in a fisherman that basically he saw in his disciples. He knew that those were the qualities that it was going to take to catch fish. And he knew these qualities were something that he was going to train them. The qualities deep within them, he was going to train them now to learn how to fish for people. And you know, when Jesus put his spirit within you and he filled you with the fullness of his spirit in your new birth, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the greatest fishermen of people of all time now resides on the inside of you. And he's in you. And we got to remember, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. We don't have the ability to win anybody, lead anybody to Christ, to make somebody into the image of Christ as a disciple. It is all about God. So what are these qualities that are in a fisherman, that are to be in you and me? And that is that a fisherman is patient. And I just want you to know, I love to fish. I can fish all day on the side of a bank, on the side of a river, in a boat. I don't care where you put me, I'll fish all day long. And I'm able to stay in it all day long. And, you know, people ask me, how in the world can you just go fishing all day long and put worms on your hook and drowning them poor worms? I'm like, I'm not drowning worms. I'm trying to catch fish. But the bottom line is that fishing is something, what I love about it is that patience is, I know there are fish out in that water. And I know how to catch them. And I'm patient in that if I see a large fish, if I see a lunker, or if I see what I call a big hog in the river, a nice trout, and he's sitting down on the riverbed, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to throw every lure, every fly at that fish until I catch it. And I'm going to catch it. I'm going to find out what lure, what fly that trout likes. And then it's all about presentation. You got to present that thing right up headstream. It's got to be presented just right, get it right down to certain depth, and it's got to be right there in front of him, and shazam. I'm going to catch that trout. I like to catch them big, and I'm going to go after it, and I'm going to catch that fish no matter what. But it takes hour after hour. And in that, I know that there's a prize underneath the water. And I'm going to get that prize. So I'm going to be patient. Well, some of you might say, I don't know if I'm that patient of a person. You know, I'll share Jesus with somebody, and if they don't accept it, I'm like, I've done my job. I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't need to do any more. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." He was patient towards you before you were saved. Do you know that? He was patient with you while you had no desire to follow God. And he waited on you and he loved you. His love was unconditional. His love towards you was so patient because he knew he was going to rescue you from hell. If we've been rescued from hell, why can't we have a little bit of patience for somebody else? If they're going to hell, why can't we be patient? Why can't we be staying in there with them thinking, well, I shared it with them one time. That's enough. I'm out of here. If you don't want it, fine. The good news is good news, whether you receive it or not. Some people need to be loved. You got to maybe you threw one lure at them and it didn't catch. I mean, listen, you don't throw a gotcha plug that catches bluefish in the river here in Swannanoa thinking you're going to catch a trout. You're not going to catch a trout with a gotcha plug. So you got to throw at them what they want. It takes time. It takes patience. You're just not going to throw one lure, one fits all, one thing all, and all of a sudden think you're going to catch a fish. And it takes a lot of courage in those little boats off sea. Beaten by the waves, the Sea of Galilee is very turbulent. I mean, it took a lot of courage. And courage is a quality that it takes to go fishing for people. It takes courage. I mean, when they look at you like, you know, a cow looking at a new gate, you know, what are you talking about? You know, it's like you got to have courage when they don't like really, you don't get the warm fuzzy when you're sharing Jesus with them. You got to have courage to overcome the obstacles that the enemy puts in front of you. I was out offshore in off 25 miles in 25 to 30 foot seas in a storm. You better believe I better had courage. I mean, I thought my life was over. But it took courage to be out there in the water knowing that waves 25, 30 feet high on each side of me. And here I am just riding it out. So, and you know, it, when it comes to fishing, you really need to have some common sense. You just got to, it's called, there's an old saying, and when you're fishing with live bait, match the hatch. What does that mean? Well, that means if the hatch of minnows or if the bait in the water are 2 inches long, you don't fish with live bait that's 12 inches long. You match the hatch. You got to fish in a way that's clever, it's smart, you know how to catch the fish. And in that, you got to realize that there is a little bit of intelligence to this. And in that, but the good news is this, is that it doesn't all take you having the perfect way to present the good news. Because the gospel is the power unto salvation. It's not you saying it perfectly or trying to all of a sudden think if I just don't present it the right way, they're going to say, no, just let me tell you right now. It has nothing to do with you. The good news is that Jesus died for your sin so that you might have eternal life. That right there is power to save anybody. Amen. You put your faith in the good news of the gospel and not in the way that you share it. It is God. So you let God do his work. You throw it out there. It might take you need to throw it out there several times. And that's okay. It is God who's going to do it. And it takes also perseverance. I mean, When you are a disciple of Christ and you're out sharing, it takes perseverance to end up sharing with somebody. I mean, you gotta, you know, there are guys out there right now that will charge $500 for people to go fishing in this area. Spend $500. Anybody spend $500 to go fishing? They're all around here. I mean, those are people who really love to go fishing. But sometimes, you know, you might say, well, you know, I've gone fishing all day long and I didn't catch a thing. I'm never going to do that again. Well, you know, I sit here and think, you know, you know nothing about fishing. So when I go fishing and I'm not catching anything, I persevere. And I keep throwing, casting, getting it right at the right spot, changing my lures, changing my flies. I know that if I fish and keep fishing and keep fishing, I'm going to eventually catch a fish. You got to have that chutzpah in you. When you're out as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and you're sharing the good news, you got to know, you sometimes got to stick in there. You know, people need time to let the word of the Lord come into them and let the word begin to take shape in them before they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Being a disciple, it's all about co-laboring with Jesus. He's inviting us into this great adventure, and he's just simply wanting to do it with us. And it's like this incredible group of people that are just here. They're helping this whole area that's been destroyed, decimated by this storm. You're simply co-laboring with Jesus to be Jesus in the valleys, in the hollers. And in that, as you're co-laboring with him, he's flowing through you to reach a people that are hurting and they just need a helping hand. And in that, it's changing people's hearts because the good news is powerful. It touches and changes lives all around you. Well, I have 20 more pages. Yay, Jesus. You know, Jesus chose them, the disciples, then he challenged them, and then he partnered with them to bring forth the good news of the gospel to all the world. And you know, there's something about it when we link up with Jesus because we're changed in the process. And then he perfects that which he started in me from the beginning, and I'm becoming a new person in Christ. So in that, I kind of want to wrap things up here. And that is, I want you to know real simply that the success of being a follower of Jesus doesn't depend on you at all. It has nothing to do with you. You're simply following him and doing what you see him doing. And you're taking this glorious good news that is the gospel of the kingdom that changes lives wherever you go. And in that, it's touching people's hearts and changing them that they might become disciples. The incredible thing about it is that Jesus started with 12. And out of those 12, he said, go and make disciples. And those 12 then compounded into thousands, millions, billions of people. The compounding effect of going and making disciples is incredible. It's the genius of God. It starts with just one other person. And that one other person goes and disciples, makes a disciple of somebody else, who then makes a disciple of somebody else. And then all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord is filling the whole earth with the good news of the gospel as we go forth becoming fishermen and women of Jesus. So I want us to go ahead and end there. I kind of a hard stop, I know. I haven't been able to go through much more. But God's good. And I'm just so excited about, you know, what Jesus is really wanting to do in this season in our church. And, you know, there's something about getting back to the basics. You know, getting back to the basics of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And it's really getting back to really doing, why are we even here? You know, what are we doing here? Are we here just to come and hear a good message? Are we here just to get some good worship? Are we here to see our friends? We're here with the mission that Jesus gave his disciples of go, and I will make you fishers of men. We are to share this glorious good news with everyone that we go and we come in contact with, everyone that we meet, because it is God's heart to seek and save the lost. The one that seeks and saves the lost is on the inside of you. Do you think that the longing of Jesus on the inside of you wants to go reach somebody out there that's lost and hurting? Yeah. He's living on the inside of you, and he wants to reach all of those around you with his love. Sometimes it's handing out a hot meal, as we've been doing here in the church. Sometimes it's going to visit an elderly who's sick, who's hurting. It might be that some of us are to go to the streets in downtown Asheville, share Jesus. It could be that we're to go into our workplace and share this good news. But this is good news, and it changes lives. And Jesus is just wanting us to saddle up with him and go wherever he goes, because we're following him. We're only doing what he says, what he does. So let's go ahead and stand. Father, I thank you so much for this incredible church. And Lord, I thank you that you have commissioned us and have given us a mission, Lord, to proclaim the gospel of your kingdom in this whole region. And Lord, I thank you that you've called us to be a lighthouse. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us to be a beacon of light set on a hill in this region. And God, I thank you and I praise you that, Lord, great and mighty things are you going to do in and through this church. And Father, I praise you that, Lord, you're going to draw the people from the north, south, east, and west, from out of state, from in this county, from in this region. You're going to draw the people. And I thank you, God, that we get to co-labor with you for one of the greatest, most glorious adventures this world has ever seen. And that is that we get to follow you, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So, Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you have bought us, that you have saved us, that you have died for us, and that you have given us new life. So, Lord Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, and we honor you as our Lord, our King, and as our Master. And we worship you, Lord, and we thank you. And I want to share something that, you know, when you think about going fishing, there's so many ways that you can present the bait, how you cast it, how you throw it. There's different ways you can do that to catch the fish. But when you're sharing the good news of Jesus, it's really one way. It's real simple. Jesus died for you because he loved you. He died on the cross for your sin that you might have everlasting life with him. That's the good news. And if you've never received that good news into your heart that Jesus died for your sin, paid the full price for your sin on the cross, and rose from the grave that you might have everlasting life, if you've never received that good news into your heart, I want you just to raise your hand. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I want you to raise your hand, because it's good news. It's glorious news. It is magnificent news. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each and every one here. And Lord, I ask right now that those that have declared, Jesus, I want you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you now just to pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, y'all say it with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and for paying the price for my sin. I thank you that you rose from the grave and you were seated with the Father. And you have given me eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. Be Lord of all. Fill me up with your love, that I might be your disciple, that I might walk with you and glorify you all the days of my life. And I will give you all the honor and glory and praise forever for what you've done in my life. And I thank you, Jesus, for everything, for giving me new life and washing away my sin. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.